Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
Ukraine-Russian conflict,
playing the Dosey Bradley game. They had championship weekend in the NCAA, and then everybody will know where they'll be going. My Suzuki used to take another year off, but they didn't make it this year. The guy named my bowling team, second place, a 14-game streak is broken. Snapped by a team that beat my over-under bid. My answer, I went to second place after a 14-game streak. Congratulations, Wheelies, our bowling team. In the news, which we get to, Russian troops are massing at the Ukrainian border and Crimea. And the question to be asked, is it a bluff or is it a real deal? And it's interesting that President Putin waited after the Olympic Games were over and the Paralympic Games started to move his troops. Again, lack of respect for the Paralympic Olympians. News of the week. News of the week. San Jose Sharks on last Saturday shut down the Montreal Canadiens for nothing. Andy Niemi, 25 saves. Ain't undefeated against Montreal this year. Tim Thomas, saying Tim Thomas didn't want to go to the White House. Will be playing for a third team in Minnesota. Oh, Dallas, you mean play with Dallas Stars? And Dallas wins 4-2 over Minnesota. Sunday was a full weekend of Paralympics. America still looking for a gold medal. Russia take 1-2-3 and sweep in the downhill country skiing. The U.S. remain undefeated in Group B hockey, and they beat the Koreans 3-0. America's trying to get a victory in wheelchair curling, and they beat Norway 8-5. NBC better get it together with the broadcasting. I don't know what time these games are on, or what channel. But I do know the Paralympic commercials. Very good, very good. Lakers done the Oklahoma Thunder 114-110. And the Lake Show gets their only 22nd victory of the year. Joni Meade gets 42 points. They were Billikens win the 8-10. Beating UMass. On the late bucket, the new board in CD2 for a second straight 8-day title. Jersey Rock, as Mercer beat the Florida Coastal Florida in the Atlantic Sun Conference. Coastal Guy beat Winthrop 70-71 in the Beat House. Now these guys' names, the Chandeliers, get their first trip in 21 years. The Chandeliers of Coastal Guy will be going to the dance. Congratulations. The two NBA powers, Miami and Indiana, are both on a 4-game losing streak. They can't get their team to be coaching to the title. Nobody near them. They're coaching. We got sad news out of Detroit. William Clayford the Ford Motor Company passed away, 88 years old, pneumonia. My name, Johnny Football Mandel, signed a multi-billion contract with Nike. I knew that record would be long. Tuesday, March Madness is in full gear. And more schools put their tickets to dance. The Delaware Blue Hens, first signed in 1999, beat the tribe of William and Mary. Man Jesuits beat the Iona 71-58. First time since 2003. Marlboro beat it. Western Carolina, 56-53. On Tuesday, the NFL free agent day, and the Cavs are bigger than it was last year, so teams are going to be trained, people are going to be moving all over the country. And guess what? Phil Jackson, hey Phil, don't drink the Kool-Aid. Do not drink the Kool-Aid. He wants to be president of the New York Knicks. The New York Knicks is dead man walking. Why do you want to go into this mess? I'll never know. In the Sochi Games on Tuesday, the Russians are racking up the medals. Our Olympic Games, Canada wins the medal. John Dudek wins over at the city medal. The bronze goes to Mark Marcotte. And Ruben Vimy. The Japanese sweep in the Mendario City. 1-3. Akita Kono. Takahashi Suzuki. Win gold and silver. And the wheelchair going. It's looking very interesting. I would like to try if I could see if I could do the wheelchair curl. Because I saw it for the first time. It's a very cool sport. On Wednesday, when I led Diamond Down to Boston for almost nothing, a 2015 draft choice, and Martin will be at home in the Niners. And there are no anything and no N-word being used in that game. Lakerland. Kobe Bryant might be gone for the season. With 20 games left. No need for him to come back. Wait till next year. Get healthy. Wait till next year. And people are complaining about Kobe. And that please. He got you 6 rings. What more do you want? Mets fans, yeah, here we go again. Johnson needs a very bad outing. And Johan and then get traded away from New York. More big news than the NCAA. Gonzaga beat the BYU going for the 15th time, winning the 13th WCC title, and the Zags do it again. And we get down to the end here. We'll take a break here. Let's take a break. We're going to trade these veterans. Take a break, recover it. ladies. Wonderful woman. All right. Get back to the real deal here. The Milwaukee Panthers. I picked the Horizon League. They were picked last to join the Horizon League. They ain't any better than that. They won the Horizon League. And they beat the right date. 69-63. So congratulations to Milwaukee. I'm going to the Big Dance Thursday. NFL players are over. The guy Panthers released Steve Smith. He resigned. He was down in Tampa Bay, moved to New England. And now New England, they got a good chance of winning the East Division. It really doesn't matter. The East is a weak division. Here we go. Philadelphia Phillies. Roll Rogers. Jimmy Rollins being benched. But rookie Freddy Galvez. And this again. Baseball being baseball. Shortstop. Jimmy Rollins has done everything they asked the Phillies to do. And he gets benched. But rookie Freddy Galvez. In the Paralympic Games, Tatiana McFadden is becoming a real star in America as he wins skating downhill. Silver medal, 1 meter sprint on Friday. Did you do your homework? Did you support Black Friday? Did you buy a black on Friday? If not, your homework for next Friday is about black. Support black businesses. It's your homework. By the way, the question I asked last week, nobody asked that question. The question I asked was, can you name the last time the Boston Celtics, the Philadelphia 76ers, the New York Knicks, and the Los Angeles Lakers all had a losing season the same time? The answer is zero. It never happened. And the Oakland Raiders on Friday boosted their weak defense. And they picked Justin Tuck and Amara Woodley of the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New York Giants, football Giants. Which means the Raiders are picking up on the defensive end. Good news, folks. Baseball finally gets a clue. And Barry Bonds, we worked up for a San Francisco lineup. And the media are falling over him, of course. Bonds is laughing and joking. They told the media I had to do that to get the game face. No, it wasn't about game face. It was about keeping the media away from him. Barry, you're a smart man. I know what you're doing. Tonight, at the Sochi Games, Paralympic Games, will be the gold medal game with Ajin as the U.S. team play the Russian Federation for gold medal. Before I get my guest in here, before she comes here, I'm going to get into HBCU news. Today, in the women's and the Swank Conference Fairview defeats Southern in the women's division, and the men start within 9 minutes. The same two teams, the men start in 5 minutes. I'm proud of you. Congratulations to the Prairie View women. They beat David Southern early this morning. Game. I had some issues here that need to be addressed here. Okay, because Michigan is trying to pass a law which all women should be upset. It's called rape insurance. Are you kidding me? You're the state legislature is trying to pass a law that women have to buy rape insurance. And only seven insurance companies carry this policy. So what are you doing, females in this country? And not only that, they're allowing the rapists, alleged rapists, to claim that they get rid of their child. This country has lost its mind. It's lost its mind. You're going to have rape insurance. Are you kidding me? We need to talk about this. Call in. 646-727-3619. What do you think? Also, the Russian army has invaded Crimea, and it forced the issue of the EU and America to take a stand. And it's really interesting that the Russian army waited until after the Olympic Games were over and the Paralympic Games started to move the troops. I question their sincerity. I question their honesty on that move. Call in if you have any more questions. All right. HBCU News, rest of it. The Lady Irish will play Trumpet State tonight for the MEAC title. And the men, let's get what the men are doing here. An HBCU men. Oh yeah, it's a big one. It's a big one. And Morgan State Bears against regular season champion, North Carolina Central Eagles. And I'll tell you, the NCAA better be very careful where they put the Eagles. Because if they put it in the wrong place, they can win a few games. I'm telling the NCAA warning. Warning. Well, this is a warning to NCAA. You better place the NC Central Eagles in the right place, or you'll be eating crow. All right. Move down the line. After the interview, I will go into the basketball and the hockey. Few notes before she comes. The Russian Federation has won 54 medals, 25 gold, 21 silver, 18 bronze. The United States finally got their gold. Finally got their gold medal. A couple of days ago, we're lagging way behind as we did 4 years ago. And the reason why we only had 60 medals is because we don't have lack of sponsorship. we can sponsor our team to go to Russia. It's a real shame. And these men and women train so hard, like the regular Olympics, and I'm afraid of the show for it. I'm gonna get some more scores here for today. Scores, basketball scores. At halftime, Duke is ahead of SC Dayton, 39-38. George Washington is over VCU, 14-11. And Michigan State and Wisconsin just started. Game to end earlier today. Michigan defeats Ohio State. Virginia defeats Pittsburgh. The game, number one Gators remain number one as they defeat Tennessee 56-49. So yeah, I'm going to take a break and we're going to try to bring Kathy Wells into the mix.
And you say the late Nicolette Larson. I didn't know that she had passed. I remember that song vividly. I mean, it's my generation.
Yeah, it'd be bad. Yeah, liver cancer.
When was that? Liver cancer. I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah,
I love that song.
1994. About 10 years ago, yeah.
Wow, it's been a while. I didn't know she had passed, but I know the song. I always love that song. So thank you
too.
For having me. Yeah, I love that song. So it's very popular. It's our generation, right?
Yeah, it is. It's
going to take a lot of love.
Her daughter is passing the torch. She's become a singer too now. So she's really big in Europe right now.
Oh, really? You know, I saw recently a program on some obscure station on cable that Donna Summer's daughter is a singer. In fact, she sings with her husband. I didn't even know that before. I mean, I was impressed to see her daughter.
Also, Diana Ross's daughter is also a singer.
Oh, I know. Well, I kind of knew that her one of her daughters is a jazz singer. I think her oldest.
Yes.
Live and learn. Live and learn. Well, I want to thank you.
I was going through a lot of female singers, and I came across the Grand Marshal, and it said 1994. What? I couldn't believe it, you know.
No, I can't believe it either. I'm sure she died young, huh?
Yeah, she died very young.
Right.
Late 30s, early 40s.
Oh, see, that's much too young. I'm sad to hear that, actually. That's bad news.
Yeah. Very, very bright child.
Yeah.
I enjoy her interviews. Very intelligent woman, too. Very intelligent woman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you introduce yourself, please?
Well, I've been on your show before. My name is Kathleen Wells. I think I've been on, maybe three times. This will be my fourth time. I'm a radio host on KCAA Radio, which is in the Inland Empire, which is about, 60 miles east of Los Angeles, the San Bernardino, Riverside, Rancho Cucamonga area. I have a radio show that I host there on Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can catch it online at kcaradio.com. If you're in the area, if you're in the Inland Empire, you can hear it on your terrestrial radios, you know, your hard radios. But if you're not in the area, you can hear the show online at kcaradio.com. Also, I want to mention that I just recently published a piece for Counterpunch. Counterpunch, Counterpunch, one word. If you Google my name, Kathleen Wells, and Counterpunch, you can read that piece. It's about the fact, it centers around the lawsuit that Leonard Rowe is a concert promoter who has been in the business for 30 years. He filed a civil rights and antitrust lawsuit against the William Morris Agency. That's been going on for 15 years, and recently he has filed and recorded commercial liens against William Morris for the fraud and corruption that they committed against him and other law firms, Loeb and Loeb. You can read that. Google my name, Kathleen Wells, Counterpunch. And I have another one coming up soon, another piece that I will publish regarding Marcus Washington and his lawsuit against William Morris Endeavor. It's worth reading. It's eye-opening. Both lawsuits are landmark, historical. They're antitrust and civil rights lawsuits. Civil rights laws, racial discrimination is being the interview that I have coming up soon will deal with corruption in our federal judicial system.
Oh, really?
Really?
Oh, this country. The more I do radio, the more I see this happening all over the country. I mean, massive corruption.
Yeah, it's a lot of corruption, and this is an eye-opener because I have a confidential source, and so my information is accurate, and my information is unique. This should be soon. It's going to be an eye-opener, believe me. You're going to want to read it, so stay tuned. But you can definitely read the one dealing with the commercial liens being levied against William Morris and other law firms. It's the name of the piece is Hollywood Heavy Hitters Hit with $500 million Liens. That's the piece that's already published in Counterpunch.
Before I get to the Ukraine, Russia, I have a as a woman, as an African American woman, Michigan has the gaudacity to pass a law that women have to have rape insurance. Are you kidding me? The state of Michigan is doing this.
They're doing what? What are they doing exactly?
the state of Michigan is requiring women to buy rape insurance.
Oh, to buy rape insurance. I mean, you know, it's just ridiculous.
What is
I mean,
my question is, what that sending a very bad message to women of Michigan, and sending a message that men can do anything they want to do and get away with it?
Oh, I mean, you know, I haven't done any research on that. I don't know about the particulars, but from what you tell me, if that is true, that they're requiring women, it's being mandated that women buy rape insurance.
Yes.
I mean, that I just can't believe it. I would have to read up on it. I can't even comment on it. It sounds so absurd.
Well,
I
the more I read it, it's always there are 20 insurance companies, only 7 have this policy. I think this is a gangster move to get money out of women. That's what I think this is about. It's all about the cash.
And it might be some way to undermine, I mean, it sounds very, I can't believe Michigan of all states, but it sounds like it's trying to undermine Obamacare, maybe, the Affordable Care Act. I don't know. I would have to read more up on it, but it's the most absurd thing. I can't believe it, Gary. I really can't.
I can't believe this whole thing, since 2008, all over the country, they were undermining the president every way they could do this. This is another attempt at doing it.
Yeah, I think so. They're trying to burden women in some way, and trying to blame it on the Affordable Care Act / Obamacare as the reason why this is now required. I mean, that's the only thing that I can conceive of.
Well, I think it's about $500 for this abortion procedure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much money it is to have an abortion, but I think it's a backdoor to end abortion. That's what this is about.
Yeah. So in other words, like if you are raped and you, I wonder if it's like if you're raped as a woman and you get pregnant.
Yep.
Is it tied into being raped and being pregnant?
That's right.
Well, I mean, I just can't imagine, you know.
Well, I guess because the mentality, look, we have a greedy mentality in this country, a really greedy mentality, and getting worse. And this law, this Michigan law, just tells me where we're going.
Well, yeah, I mean, I saw, you know, we're a capitalist country. I saw I don't watch many Hollywood movies, but I saw a movie, I can't remember the name of it, and the character at the end said, America is not a country, but a company. Well, I agree with that sentiment exactly. I mean, when you have what capitalism unbridled, unregulated becomes is a company. A country turned into a company on steroids. So America is not a country. America is a company. I think that's apt.
All right. Well, we're gonna. I want you to come back. We can talk about that when you come back a couple of weeks from now. We're gonna talk about that again. I need to read more about that because I want to find out who's doing this. I gotta find out who's doing this.
Who's doing this? Yeah.
I want to know who it is. So I got to read more. I read about it this morning. It was just too quick. I couldn't read the whole thing this morning. But I was like, you gotta be kidding me.
Right, right, right. I don't know any of the details. In fact, I haven't even seen it. You know, I haven't been really following that stuff. I've been really consumed with this Leonard Rowe versus William Morris and Marcus Washington. I spent a lot of time writing that article. I'm doing another one that should be published in the next week or so. So I've been spending a lot of time on that. And then, let's see, on my radio show, the week before last, I talked about global imperialism. And that is what is taking place in Ukraine. Corporate imperialism.
It's very interesting that we get better at it right now. It's very interesting to me that after the Olympic Games were over, Putin moved his troops to the Ukraine, which is very interesting. Whereas after all the stars of the show left the country and disabled athletes moved in, and then he moved the troops. To me, it's like a smack in the face for disabled athletes.
To you what? Say that again?
It was a smack in the face for the disabled athletes.
Because he
waited until after all the regular athletes left.
But see, you know, as I said, I've had, what, 2 weeks ago or maybe 3 weeks ago, I had on my radio show the editor of News Junkie Post, Gilbert Mercier. I recommend people to read News Junkie Post, which you can find online. And, you know, I sort of have a different take on it now. What we talked about and what he informed me about, because he's giving me a lesson in this issue, is that engineering and the manufacturing of failed states. The engineering and the manufacturing of failed states. And this is the way imperialism is displaying itself on the geopolitical stage now. It's no longer just plain imperialism. It's global imperialism. And we can see it, as he discussed, we can see it taking place in Syria, in Mali, the Central African Republic, Venezuela, and Ukraine. We know it took place in Libya and also Iraq. You see? So what it is they engineer these crises. I think that Naomi Klein, if I got her name right, also talks about it in her book, The Shock Doctrine. What they do, they destabilize these countries so that then they can extend or outstretch the arm of global imperialism to their benefit. So these crises, low-level conflicts, are manufactured and engineered for global imperialists. I know it sounds like a mouthful, but that's what we talked about on my show. And I'm leaning, you know, I'm doing my research. I'm learning about it. I'm learning about it from Gilbert. He talks about it a lot on his site, News Junkie Post. And I think this is what they say is taking place in Ukraine. It is a manufactured crisis. See, we think it's about...
So what you're saying is that say like Russia, United States, China are creating almost like satellite countries.
Exactly. So they can go in and loot the countries. And in fact, there's a piece according to Iskra News, they have a piece titled The Spoils of War and Regime Change. I'm reading from this. At 2 a.m. this morning, March 7th, an unmarked transport plane was on the runway of Borispol Airport east of Kyiv. According to airport staff, before the plane came to the airport, four trucks and two Volkswagen minibuses arrived. All the trucks' license plates were missing. 15 people in black uniforms, masks, and body armor stepped out, some armed with machine guns. They loaded the plane with more than 40 heavy boxes. After that, a mysterious man arrived and entered the plane. All loading was done in a hurry. This plane took off in an emergency on an emergency basis. Those who saw the mysterious plane, the mysterious special operation, immediately notified the airport officials. Later, a return call from a senior official of the Ministry of Revenue reported that on the orders of one of the new leaders of Ukraine, the United States has taken custody of all of the gold reserves in Ukraine.
What?
You see what I'm saying? Exactly. And in fact, let me go on to say,
so I have a question. Why is the media tell you that?
No. I mean, the media is complicit in this corruption and shenanigans. The media is complicit because why? Because our media is a corporatized media.
There you go.
And this is, it's corporatized. It's owned by big global conglomerates. And so imperialism is now, and in fact, this is something that Gilbert Messier, the editor of News Junkie Post, was talking about when he was on my program, that when you have politicians, heads of states go to various countries, they don't go there to represent the national interest of the people of their nation. They go there to represent Google or Twitter or eBay. You see, this is how things have now have transpired and evolved. And in fact, this piece and in fact reported in King World News on March 10th, he had an interview. King World News is a prominent online financial blog, and they published an interview with William Kay. William Kay is a Hong Kong-based hedge fund manager at Pacific Group Limited. He previously worked for Goldman Sachs in mergers and acquisitions. And in this interview, he says, of significant in this interview with William Kay is the analogy between Ukraine, Iraq, and Libya. Lest we forget, both Iraq and Libya had their gold reserves confiscated by the United States. Now, that's 33 tons of gold, which is worth somewhere between $1.5 billion and $2 billion.
How many people know this, what's going on?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. We have, you know, this is what I'm thinking. With the Internet, we're not going to get it from our mainstream media or even
our... No, we're not
going to get it from mainstream media. You know, while everyone is so concerned about Russia invading Crimea or Ukraine, well, you know, Russian troops have been stationed in Crimea for over 10 years with under an agreement with Ukraine. So, you know... Why are we even, troops have been stationed there for 10 years under an agreement with the state. So why is this an issue?
American troops in Guantanamo Bay in Cuba have been there for 40 years.
Exactly. So why are we even concerned about this? Because it's not about the sovereignty and democracy in Ukraine. It's not. It's about global and corporate imperialism. We've seen it happen before with Iraq. We've seen it happen before with, they attempted to make it happen in Syria. We saw it happen with Libya. It's, you know, and it's no need to reinvent the wheel. And it's not like we haven't been here before. Whether the United, as he writes in this piece, Eric King stated, whether the United States is taking down Saddam Hussein in Iraq or Muammar Gaddafi in Libya, there always seems to be gold at the end of the rainbow.
Money. It's all about money. All about the cash.
It's all about the money.
Yeah, and this is, look, and everything we do now, this scares me. Everything we do, and gold is green. And not white power, and not black power, it's green power. It's always been that way.
Well, I don't know if it's always been that way. I discussed the fact that, normally we were always importing democracy, intervening in places where the people were brown and black. In the Middle East, in Africa. That's how we've traditionally done it. Well, now we're seeing Ukraine. This is the first instance we're not in the Middle East or in Africa, but we're in Eastern Russia, Eastern Europe.
Well,
so,
it's very
you know.
Really, you bring that up because they're over there. All of the communist countries are now people of color. And I didn't know that. I did not read it. All the communist countries now are people of color. All right. North Korea, communist. Vietnam, communist. China, communist. Cuba, communist. There's not one single white country that's covered anymore. That tell people something.
So you raised an interesting question. Is the new Cold War heating up? So the coup in Ukraine is as much about freedom, importing freedom and democracy, as were the invasions in Iraq,
yes.
the invasion in Afghanistan, the sponsored attempt to topple Assad's regime in Syria. So what news outlets do, they become propaganda machines that present neo-Nazis in Ukraine and jihadists in Syria as being revolutionaries. But the crisis is not about Ukraine at all, but about rather putting the squeeze on Russia. See, it's about putting the squeeze on Russia.
Joseph Goebbels will be very happy with this. My thing with it is Obama cannot win because if he dies with the Russians, he's a globalist. If he died with the Ukrainians, he's a rebel. So he cannot win with this situation. He can't win. Am I right?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, presumably Obama is a part of what's taking place, a part of the global expansion and imperialism. I mean, come on. To be a part of the United States, you have to be the leader of the United States.
Yes.
Because, you know, all this, what's going on in Ukraine is being engineered, and the puppet master is right there in Washington, D.C. The neocons in Washington are orchestrating this. Victoria Nuland, who is the Assistant Secretary of State, is orchestrating this. Victoria Nuland is the wife of neocon Robert Kagan, who is the co-founder of the Project for the New American Century.
Mm.
Victoria Nuland is the Assistant Secretary of State for European and Eurasian Affairs at the U.S. State Department.
Mm.
See, it's all being engineered right there in Washington, D.C.
Mm.
by the neocons.
So what you're saying is that the Russians and Americans are working together at this.
No. The Russians, it is squeezing Russia.
Okay.
Now, what has been a counter? They're trying to squeeze Russia. What is a counterbalance to this? What is a counterbalance to this manufacturing of unrest and low-intensity civil wars in other countries to the extent that the United States has to intervene? Because the United States is intervening. They are attempting to put sanctions. They're pushing. Washington, D.C. is pushing for sanctions to be placed against Russia for intervening. But, you see, Russia has always had troops for the last 10 years in Crimea with an agreement. This was based on an agreement that they had with the Ukraine.
I have a couple questions. Michael, you go first, please.
Okay. I just came in on the heels of this and whatnot, and the sister's saying her words have iron in all of this, but I think there's a backstory that a lot of people have forgotten about. And this goes back to when the Soviet Union was broken down. I mentioned this on my show a couple of times, and we have to remind ourselves that Americans did not realize when the Soviet Union was broken up that half of it was Muslim. You know, because a lot of them didn't know anything about Turkestan or Uzbekistan or any of these other places and whatnot, and realized it was all part of the process. But having said that, there's been a backstory in what Putin and any other Russian leader before him has tried to do since. Because when Russia went to so-called democracy, all it did was allow for corruption and crime to fester even more so, so that a handful of people got stinking rich behind it. And a lot of these people realize now, and I'm talking about Russian people, realize that democracy doesn't mean jack if you're going to bed empty at night with an empty belly. And now there's this movement underneath to try to bring back, even though I know they won't be able to do it in its entirety, but this is part of Putin's agenda to bring the Soviet Union back, or at least as much of the Russian satellites as they can, like, you know, Estonia, Lithuania, and no, they're not going to get them back, the Balkans. But the whole point is he's trying to patch back together what was taken from them. And the Russians know that the Chinese are going to be throwing major weight over the next decade or two. They also realize that because the United States is who they are, they really can't afford to be enemies with us. This is all posturing. If there were a white president in office right now, we wouldn't see any of this nonsense. You know, there would be a silent endorsement of what Russia is doing because we've done it. And how hypocritical can we be to say, Russia, you can't do this, when that's exactly what we did that cost American soldiers their lives when we went over there for oil money. And then it benefited, you know, Rumsfeld and a couple of other people who made buku bucks off of us and the lives of American soldiers and their blood and stuff. So, you know, what you brought up earlier about the Paralympics and the Sochi athletes, this goes to something else. And I apologize in advance if people take offense to this, but I got to say it. If something were to happen while those athletes were there, someone's always considered it. Someone has already considered it, and they'll say, those para athletes are collateral damage. It'll be a cost, a small cost, but they're willing to make them martyrs if stuff really jumped off in a negative way. Those Paralympians over there, they're trying to do whatever they're doing for the love of whatever sport they're doing, and it's also under the aegis of our country and the red, white, and blue. Well, the people who are in power, the people this sister's talking about, they could give a rat's ass about the red, white, and blue. They care more about the green and the control of it all. So, you know, regardless of who's sitting at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, it's just more pronounced now because this is a black man there. But remember, just because a black man is sitting there doesn't mean that all of a sudden your concerns are going to be dealt with as black people, that you're going to be given the benefit of the doubt. No. We know that the president has been stonewalled on a lot of the things that he's done. And even when the 2014 election hits, if he doesn't get the result that he needs, and even if he gets the result that he needs, he's going to be a lame duck. That's how they're going to play this. And they'll say, we'll just continue to do what we did the last 6 years, stall until 2016 comes. And he's null and void. He can't do anything. And then it'll be either Elizabeth Warren's turn or Bernie Sanders' turn, hopefully, or Clinton's turn, as in Hillary. But we don't know. The long and short of it, though, what is going on now, this is just playing chicken. You see how some of the neocons are getting off on Putin, talking about what a great leader he is. I mean, like, since when have Americans gone so far as to try to say publicly that a Russian leader is admirable in the current light of American politics? Someone's cutting someone else at the nuts underneath all of this somewhere, and we know because the media is bought and paid for, you really don't have to point it too many directions to find out who it really is.
Right.
707, you got anything to add? I had a question for Kathleen.
Okay.
Kathleen. Didn't realize that was you. Sorry.
This concept of corporate imperialism, I understand the point that you're making when it's applied in the case of, say, Libya and Iraq. But in the present situation, this so-called crisis in the Ukraine seems to be started by Putin, not initiated by the U.S. Does that somehow put a different spin on things?
What source are you using to have the position that it was started by Putin?
Well, I'm just going from my observation of the media that he appears to have made.
You can't watch the media.
Okay, it appears that he made the first move by moving the army into the Ukraine area.
But didn't I say, listen, that's what our media tells us. That's what our mainstream media tells us, which is corporate owned. Our mainstream media is a propaganda arm of corporate imperialism.
Okay.
Russian troops have been stationed in Crimea for over 10 years under an agreement with Ukraine. But our media portrays it as something different. In fact, and I see this, how the media does it, because I have examined, I'm stepping back to my piece in Counterpunch regarding this $500 million lien that Leonard Rowe has recorded against William Morris. When I read another person's piece about what's going on, they paint it completely differently.
Mm-hmm.
They paint it as if, oh, Leonard Rowe has done a bad thing. They don't even mention the fraud and corrupt. You know, this after 15 years, this is only the straw that he has available to him after all the fraud and corruption has been instituted against him. They paint it as, oh, he's a bad guy putting a lien on William Morris. Do you see how you can paint a picture?
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. If Putin did not make the first move, you know, if that's kind of a false perception that's been presented, what is the first move that was done, say, by Western powers in the Ukraine?
Well, what they do is that they start the unrest. They start civil unrest. Haven't you noticed? And what I said, that all of these people, like in Syria, the jihadists in Ukraine, the neo-Nazis, they're supposed to be revolutionaries fighting for what? Democracy and freedom. You had the jihadists in Iraq, the terrorists fighting for some. These countries have infiltrators in there instigating this. I've had on my show former CIA officers, Philip Girardi, Paul Peller, former CIA officers. They talk about this, how CIA infiltrates these countries and starts the civil unrest. So then once everything is sort of like crazy like that, then you can start to move the pieces in your favor.
Okay. Well,
and we, the American people, have to be aware of this.
I got to ask Kathleen, what do you see coming to? How do you see this ending? Because I don't see it ending very well. I think we're getting ready to get into a thing that we don't want to get into.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see it ending?
How? Repeat that, please.
How do you see this conflict ending? How do you see the Ukrainian issue? Because I don't see it going out as a good deal for the United States.
No, it's not a good. I mean, it is a good deal for the neocons because they thrive off of civil unrest. This is what the woman who wrote Shock Doctrine talks about. This is what, you know, I want you to read News Junkie Post. He's covering it extensively. News Junkie Post, Counterpunch is covering it. There are a few places where you can find this alternative, because even the alternative media like Alternet is not sufficient, or Truth Out. I think my piece on the million liens is coming out on Truth Out this week. But even Truth Out and Truth Dig and Alternet, they're not good enough. You got to go a little. You got to read News Junkie Post or Counterpunch or even RT, Russian television. I mean, but you've got to look for Al Jazeera. You've got to go outside. You've got to go to international sources to find your information.
It's no joke. That's so true. You know, Kathleen, I didn't realize that was you. Good afternoon, sis. But one thing that has been consistent over the last few months is that I have seen more pertinent information regarding things going on in our country on the UK's mail post website talking about stuff that's happening here that's even localized to some degree that's not talked about in this country at all. So we're in this place now where we knew most of our real information was going to come from cyberspace because the media is bought and paid for. But now those layers are starting to peel because, as Kathleen just implied, Alternet is, whatever for whatever reasons, unable or unwilling to give you the full depth of the real meat that's in the sandwich. But I'll say this from my own personal experience regarding stuff abroad. I lived in Germany during the reunification, and I can tell you there was a whole different spin going on there as what was going on until the West got a hold of it and ran with it. There were a lot of West Germans that wanted no part of reunification.
They
came to this thing kicking and screaming
because
of the mindset that was put in place by the Russians, by the fact that the DDR really had nothing. They had no technology. Their cars were garbage. They really didn't have jobs. They were given stipends by the state to keep going and stuff. And when they were supposedly liberated, they were upset because the Turks that were there, the Africans that had settled there for two generations and had essentially become Germans, at least without, you know, speaking their mother tongue in their own home outside, they were now the enemy. And they were called Ausländerin, outsiders, because these Germans were spiked up by the Austrian neo-Nazis who had been hiding, laying in wait for this to come so they could push their own agenda. And the Polizei, many members of the Polizei, the police service, were in sympathies with these folks. You heard stories of how people would get beaten up by the neo-Nazis and stuff like that, and then the Polizei would come in, arrest the hooligans, and then drive them somewhere and let them go because they were in support with these guys. I think even HBO even did a movie about it, I think, with Oliver, I forget the gentleman's last name, not Oliver Stone, but he's an actor. But he was one of the people who was involved in all this. So there's stuff that's going on that even when we had media, we weren't privy to getting the real story. But now that our mainstream media is compromised even more so, people have to be proactive enough to want to know what the hell is going on. And sometimes when you're trying to put a roof over your head, feed your family, and, you know, you're dealing with immediate stuff, you ain't thinking about the fact that what's going on in Crimea and the setup to try to start some shit and start another war really is in your best interest to know about, because you're not thinking on those lines. You've got other, you know, concerns that you got to deal with right off the top. And this is what the chicken hawks and neocons depend on. You know, they'll raise the flag and wave it in a heartbeat, get out there and make some more money for themselves, and more Americans come home in coffins. And it's not until after people are buried that they'll realize, oh, we've been played again? You know, but...
Right, and in fact, Gilbert Mieser writes in his piece on News Junkie Pulse, it also serves as yet, as he's in line with what you're exactly saying, it also serves as yet another distraction to switch people's focus from one fabricated crisis to another to prevent any sustained examination of the looming systematic failure of global capitalism. Nothing beats a fake revolution to preempt a real one. That's what
that's
he
scary.
That's, so at least, you know, I don't have the answers because I'm learning myself. That's why I have him on my show. But at least I'm telling you guys now to go to his site, News Junkie Host, and to go to Counterpunch to get more detailed stuff. Because I don't have all the answers. I'm learning myself that it's all like one big phony mess. Put on by the neocons, and we saw it first with Iraq, and they had written about this to in the 90s, the 1990s, plan. I think it's called Plan for a New. I forgot. I can't remember the name of it. But I saw on my Facebook page someone posted how Israel has sent people into Ukraine to stir up this. The pot, and that Ukrainian fighters were in the hospital in Israel. So it's not what we're being fed in our TV. We got to turn off our TVs and go to our internet.
It's getting to that. No, it really is. It's getting to that. You know, everything that's on TV, a lot of it's just designed to dull your senses and whatnot, and you know, you're not getting informed on anything. You know, the History Channel ain't telling you anything. It literally is telling you his story. And, you know, I said this last Black History Month, and I said it this year. Not one time was there anything pertinent regarding Black History on the History Channel. And they're consistent if nothing else because they did it again this year. So, you know, all of these other things and real information, we have to take not just these folks to task, but we got to take the TV ones and the BETs and all these other places to task too. As much as I like Unsung, there's no other reason why I watch that, channel because y'all ain't telling me anything. And there are things that are pertinent and germane to us, you know, that really should be said to people across the board, and they are doing everybody a disservice by just staying quiet and just waiting for the door to knock on them as far as the, you know, crystal knock effect of arriving late to the party only to realize not only is the party over, they're arresting you for disorderly conduct.
I have a question for both of you, fine writers and producers and directors and stuff. This year, the Academy Awards, 12 Years a Slave won an Oscar. Now, I've been going through the past 50, 60 years of the American Movie Academy. And each Black Academy Award winner was very interesting the reason why it won the award. I'm going to go back to 1939. Hattie McDaniel, who was she in the movie Gone with the Wind, or whatever the movie was?
Mm-hmm, Gone with the Wind.
It was a paid, right?
Yep.
Fast forward. 1964. Cindy Fortier, Lady of the Film.
Mm-hmm.
What was his role?
Yep.
He has the Four Nuns.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fast forward, 1980, whatever year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have Halle Berry and Denzel Washington. Now, Halle Berry did three outstanding movies, with the Dandridge story, Bobby Dandridge, Donnie Dandridge story.
Right.
And the Take Care of Isaiah. Praise
right.
Isaiah. Praise Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
No. They give Halle Berry an award for being a prostitute. And the same thing with Denzel Washington. Denzel Washington did three outstanding movies, Hurricane, Malcolm X, and what do? They give him a award for a dirty cop. See, there's a message, That message keeps ringing right out of here. And 12 Years a Slave, Crying Miss Daisy, The Color of Purple, Mother. Okay, this has got to stop. We had to have more Black producers, Black directors. It's a political agenda, and it's very sickening. What do you guys think? Kathleen?
I think Hollywood is no friend to Black America, to Black community, Black community. There's no question about that. Hollywood is no friend to most other communities other than the white community. Now they even show the Amish in a negative light. So, I mean, you know, Hollywood is a monopoly, and there's no doubt about that. And I think that Black folks need to start their own industry.
Mm-hmm.
They need basketball, baseball, football, hockey.
Mm-hmm. You know, Gary, when you mentioned Hattie McDaniel and Gone with the Wind, you got to remember that was 1939. It was like 1 year removed from when Oscar Micheaux was doing his own movies, producing his own movies out in California. You know, so we had Black filmmakers then doing stuff. And even though there was a pattern of insularness to it, you know, we knew, and we knew the reality of it. The integration movement moved everything in a totally different direction because now it wasn't about our own. It was about how somebody describes our own. When Lilies of the Field was done, to your point, everything about it. Well, you know, here's the benevolent Negro. You know, he's the good one who's helping out these white nuns. You know, now, if X, a portrait of a powerful black man who came of age, was ever given an award, that elevates the humanity of black people worldwide, not just in America. So the Academy can't do something like that.
Can't do it.
You know, when HBO did Introducing Dorothy Dandridge, you know, Halle Berry captured, and I give her credit for that, she captured the spirit of that sister and the demons that she had to be going through, knowing what was going on in the time and stuff. But yet, they can't recognize her for that. If you have a woman, a black woman, in a position like that where she's got that much moral strength and fiber, that can't be portrayed on a on a on a screen. But if you've been shown that you've been taking care of white kids and raising them, and you know, I don't know about birthing no babies and all that other stuff, you know, yes, that's game to their heartstrings, and it's consistent with a pattern of white supremacy that has existed for over 400 years and change. And to your point, Denzel Washington, well, even if he's a supposed law authority figure, the fact that he would be corrupt is consistent with the message that, see, even though these Negroes are in positions of authority, they can't be trusted with it, you know, because they're liable to be corrupt. You know, we saw the same thing to a lesser degree in Boys in the Hood, when you saw the black cop showing out for his white partner as he was beating up on, it was either Ice Cube or one of the people in the movie, but the bottom line was, black males will never get looked at in a positive light, and black females as well, unless they're making their own movies. I was talking about School Days just the other day, and Scott, and supposedly Spike, is talking about remaking the movie. But the whole premise of School Days began when I was talking about the fact that when Lupita won the award, everybody's bragging about, oh, here we go, this beautiful black woman. Look how beautiful she looks, and oh, she can wear any color and all that other stuff. And this ain't no hate on Lupita by any stretch, but I grew up with Lupitas. I grew up with Lupitas all my damn life, you know, whether it was Diane Davis in fifth grade or Pierre Angelina Moore when I was dating her in high school, or Azizi Johari, who was one of my first pinups when I bought Players Magazine, you know, Renee Bailey, somebody who I grew up with, who's a beautiful sister, who's even darker than Lupita. The point is, now Lupita is put out there as this symbol of beauty, but she never, to your point, she never would have gotten an Oscar if she had done a remake of the Audrey Hepburn role in Breakfast at Tiffany's, because first of all, they wouldn't have cast her for the role. People would have been up in arms, just like they are up over the little girl Quvenzhané Wallace about
Annie.
but the bottom line here is that if Lupita said, I want to play Cleopatra, who in Hollywood do you think is going to listen to her?
Ooh.
Oh, we already had that role cast. Oh, you know, Angelina is perfect for the part. You know, you get my point. The bottom line is that black men and women are not going to be portrayed any way than the industry wants them to be manipulated to do so.
And we need to stop talking about it and stop hoping and wishing for it and just get on with our business of developing our own.
Exactly.
How many examples do you need before you finally get it?
Well, I think what's happening is a lot of people are waking up to this, and finally realizing, smell the coffee, and the coffee ain't smelling too good. So we have to continue this journey. We have to continue this fight wherever we go. I mean, it happens in the disabled community, it happens in the women's community, it's a constant battle. I mean, it's a constant battle now.
It's a constant battle, Gary, but it's designed to do the following. It's designed to weaken us on all fronts, because if you're talking about this, you know something else is going on somewhere else that you really can't focus on, so the misdirection is in effect, and we can't allow ourselves to fall for the okey-doke consistently when we know there are other issues that are germane to our survival. And I'm saying the word just exactly as it is, because underneath all of this is really about genetic survival. This is the stuff that Dr. Frances Cress Welsing talked about in the ISIS papers, and she was right as rain. And we know that rain, just like truth, falls on the just and unjust alike. when they decided that they couldn't listen to what she was saying because it was that strong, didn't stop her from saying it. But it's the truth. The world is getting darker, and all of this is revolving around that truth.
And I have her, she's a mentor of mine, Dr. Frances Cress-Wells.
I love that sister.
And she was a guest on my radio show the week before last. So I adhere to what she's saying. That's what I love. I love what she says. And when I talked about the fact that the intervention, this unrest, this global imperialism usually stretches into countries where the folks are black and brown, well, you're right. The people in Ukraine, a large percentage of them are Muslim. And that's what was going on with the Boston bombing thing also.
Well, I want you to come back on again, really soon, because you have so much information, and we need to get out there to people to hear it.
Okay, thank you.
Kathleen, I'd like to talk with you on Facebook as well about coming on my show as well, talking about this, please.
Oh, okay. What's your name?
I'm Michael Lewis Ingram. I'm from Salt Tree Radio on the Raw.
Oh, you're on my page, huh?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I mean, you've talked to me before on Facebook, huh?
Yes, I have.
Yes.
You know who I am. You know how I talk, right? Yeah,
Michael,
okay, that's
comes
fine.
Michael comes on before I go on radio. So we tag team, Saturday afternoon, every Saturday.
Oh, well, I mean, he knows how I talk on my page.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, you know. I mean, actually, I tone it down a bit for the radio, huh?
Well, see, on my show, you don't have to worry about toning it down.
Okay, that's cool.
Thank you.
Once again,
you're welcome.
Thank you for going to the call. What are you doing in about 2 weeks? Are you doing it again 2 weeks?
Who, me?
Yeah,
I guess, I don't know. Well, let me see that. I'm really working on this piece. Probably. Just hit me up on Facebook.
How do you get it 2 weeks? If you can do it.
Okay, just let me know on Facebook, okay, Gary?
I got to leave well for KCAA, the Imperial Empire. In the Empire.
Yeah, and don't forget to check out my piece on Counterpunch. Hollywood heavy hitters hit with $500 million length. Is a great piece, and I have another one coming soon regarding, it should be out this week hopefully,
cool.
Marcus Washington versus William Morris. Don't forget to check that out also.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Kathleen.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye.
All right. What a great interview. Great interview. That's what I'm talking about. Real interview. Real deal. You know? Nicole, get into that now. So, yeah. Michael.
Yes, sir.
We had to get some hockey here before we get out of here.
Oh, yeah.
Last week, there were like six goalies changing uniforms. Which goalie do you think would be? Which goalie do you think was the most important move, and why?
The Ryan Miller move, without question. Miller, who has long been the netminder for the Buffalo Sabres, was traded to the St. Louis Blues.
Right.
And it kick-started them. Even though St. Louis had decent goaltending with Jaroslav Halak and Elliott, Miller, who was the starting goaltender for the U.S. Olympic team in 2010 and was left off 2014 squad. Seemed like he was just in a place where there was major malaise because Buffalo had been constantly in rebuilding mode. And in that trade, by the way, one of our goal brothers, Chris Stewart, is now a Buffalo Sabre. So he's robbed out of a playoff situation, and maybe it was done to give Ryan Reeves more ice time, who's also another goal brother, but the bottom line here is that Stewart, who has been proven to be an effective scorer in the playoffs when it matters most, will not be there for St. Louis, and that move may come back to bite him in the ass. But having said this, you know, we haven't a chance to talk post-Olympics, but let's realize something. The U.S. was lost in the sauce out there on that big ice.
Yeah.
and then they went over to Europe. And they surely could have used people who had experience on the big ice because they had played juniors and played tournaments there, like Seth Jones, who was only a defenseman and could have been paired with Shane Weber, or Shea Weber there as one of the tandems there. They chose not to use him. They also could have used somebody with a great slap shot and a big presence in front of the net. So Minnesota's own Dustin Byfuglien, also of the Winnipeg Jets, could have been there to provide that, but the U.S. chose not to do it. Or they could have used a good two-way player with a consistent shot who seems to be blossoming at the right moment, but they chose to leave Kyle Okposo at home, even though he had been invited to the camp. But the thing that was most glaring here, and I'm only going in Olympics on this tip here, is what was said after the fact about P.K. Subban. Now, you and I know we were both
what
looking for Subban the entire Olympics. I'm like, where the hell is he? They simply didn't use him. They made him the odd man out. Because when the awards were given, and how I was looking for black faces, there's P.K.'s black ass finally getting his award. So they made their point that the person who had the Norris Trophy for the best defenseman wasn't good enough to start on their national team. That's what they're saying.
That's crazy.
Now, hold on. It gets better. As I was digging for information, because I am going to put a post-trade piece on the Gold Brothers, I find this piece of video from this Canadian broadcaster, and I know this little shit because I've met him and talked to him as they came down to cover Super Bowls. And his racist slip was showing as he was talking about P.K. Subban. He gets caught on air saying that P.K. should play the white way. And then he caught himself and said the right way. So,
ooh.
Oh, yes. And like I said, the video is there on YouTube.
Oh.
So, like I said, when this little shit got caught saying what he said, it didn't make the light of day down here. Now, in Canada, it might have had a ripple and whatnot. I'm still trying to check my Canadian correspondence, my daughters up there, to see if there was any fallout from it. But the long and short of it was, you know, nothing was said. They think he's too flashy. They think he's got too much swag. You know, you can't have a black man walking around like that, even if he's doing it on skates. They don't give. They don't care. They want to make sure that you're in your place.
I'll be happy when I'll be happy.
Oh, yeah. But that's the truth. That is exactly what they're doing. They are subjugating the brothers, and this is the backlash that's hitting now because there are black players in the league who have pivotal roles, and they have to digest that. Jerome McGinley has been kind of quiet in the midst of what Buston's doing, but he's been very effective. You know, Dustin Byfuglien, Byfuglien's been a difference maker because now they're utilizing him the way they utilized him in Chicago when they won the Cup. He's playing forward and defense, and he's in front of the net on the power play.
Right.
Wayne Simmonds is arguably an MVP candidate in Philadelphia because he comes hard. He plays hard every night. He's a steady influence. He is so good a fighter that people realize that, okay, he will scrap, but maybe you don't want to scrap with him because he won't take any stuff.
And he's so big that I wouldn't want to deal with him because of size.
So now we have these players who are making a difference. The league can't hide it anymore. They can politically do what they want to do, but they can't change the fact that, okay, when they traded Chris Stewart, they traded him out of an area in the Midwest where maybe a black star won't be as appreciated to a team with a bad record.
Might miss the playoffs.
But that's my point. It doesn't matter what sport it is, whether it's hockey or any of the more conventional basketball, baseball, football, they don't want black people to succeed if they can help it. And Chris Stewart going to Buffalo is a classic example of that. So many teams are talking about how they needed scoring punch. Okay, well, why not Chris? If Jerome McGinley played with the same attitude, say, as P.K. Subban, he likely would have been out of the league by now because they would have said he's too cocky. But if he's white, if he's Patrick Kane, if he's a brat, oh, that's endorsed. He's fiery, you know. Many said that Brett Hull was like that. But never stopped Brett Hull from doing what he's doing and scoring goals.
Everybody loves Brett Hull. Everybody loves the way he played.
Exactly. But P.K. Subban can't do that? No. He's got to be an arrogant nigga, and he must be put down. So for an announcer to come out and lose his composure and say that he needs to play the white way, that tells you what they're all thinking, and that goes to the root of stuff that I've sat in press boxes for years listening to. Some got caught. Some say it in a disguised manner. Now, this is one case where he got busted, cold busted, for saying exactly what he said.
My next question is Martin Brodeur. Is he played one year too many times? One more year too much?
I don't know. You know, I thought he was going to get traded, frankly. But when Minnesota made the move, it did. I was like, oh, wait, that knocked that out. Brodeur has the right to leave on his own terms. He's got the rings. His name's on the cup. He helped the Devils franchise survive being in New Jersey. So they owe him in some sort of way. Or he may feel that they owe him. Either way,
he would be
wrong. So the bottom line here is that they're dealing with the reality of what he has and what he's offered. If y'all can't pay the price, you know, sit down and shut up.
Yeah.
They may try to force Brodeur out after this season, but I think the bottom line is that the Devils are hoping they can get one last playoff run in, and in an ideal world, you know, Brodeur will bow gracefully and step off.
All right, I'm about final four. I got my final four ready.
And they are?
I got my final four. It's Boston and Toronto in the East.
Mm-hmm.
And San Jose and L.A. in the West.
Nah. I gotta go with my Flyers. Mason is playing a lot better than anybody thinks. And he's giving them a real goaltender again. I'm sorry that Goldbrother Ray Emery is hurting him a little bit, but
I'm leaning toward
my Fly guys because I think they can do damage. The trade that they made for McDonald at the deadline helps them on the back line.
Yeah.
I really don't know why they don't like Andre Mazaros because he showed some offensive scoring touch lately. But the long and short of it is, if the Flyers play more like the Devils on defense, they have a chance with anybody. That's how good Mason is, from what I've seen.
The Flyers, I love the Flyers, and their defense is led to be desired. Mason gets them in a lot of games. They shouldn't even be hitting.
Mm-hmm. But that's my point. Coach Berube, who really should be considered for Coach of the Year, considering what he came in with after LaViolette had the Flyers 1-7, he stabilized him. He says, keep it simple.
Yeah.
It might be boring, but you see it's worked. And one thing this Flyers team has done that not a lot of the Flyer teams in the past have done, they've come from behind 9 times and won. 11 times and gained points, whether an overtime shootout. And most importantly, they've beaten teams that used to beat them. When they got behind on the Devils, that was the kiss of death with the Devil system. But they've come back and beaten the Devils. The Rangers, Lundqvist, for some reason used to feel like he's 10 feet tall inside that net. Flyers couldn't get anything past him. Flyers have beaten Lundqvist coming from behind. So, from a mental standpoint, they're in a much better place. And even though Claude Giroux got off to a slow start, he's cooking right now. So I'm thinking Boston, Philly, and on the West Coast, it's hard to argue against Chicago. It's Chicago and
I forgot about Chicago.
Say Chicago, and you know those damn Ducks. You really can't get rid of their ass. So Chicago and Anaheim, I have a feeling somehow going to come to blows.
Oh, breaking news. The Anthony Lady Birds have won the MEAD title 50-47. Breaking news. The Anthony Birds now MEAD champions 50-47 over Coppin State.
Okay, so now they won the division, so we know they're going in. Now, how do they go in? What seed are they going to be? That's the $64 question.
I'll tell you, I'm going to be a bad little Negro, and they'll get 12 or above. You know what, writing a skating article, I will burn the NCAA down. And they'll get 12 or above. I'm serious.
Y'all better listen to Mr. Biggs. I know he'll light that ass up.
I'm serious. I'm not kidding. The reason why I say this is because these women have been told what to do, and they did it. The NCAA told them, you play outside the division. They did that and won. They were told to win your regular season conference. They did that, and they won. And they win your conference tournament, and they did that, and they won. They have a 17-game win streak. What's wrong with you?
It's not what's wrong. They put those obstacles in front of them for a specific reason. You know, it's like, okay, now do it again. Because ultimately...
And they did it again.
But even that they got that far, they weren't expecting to get that far. And the NCAA said that, hoping that they didn't get that far.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the truth. So now, they've crossed the burning sands, and the NCAA has to rate them.
Yeah.
If they truly feel, and this is what the point I have with Fred, if they truly feel that the Lady Pirates are a threat, they'll make sure that they're a 14 seed or worse.
Go up against a one.
Mm-hmm. But if you think it's a blip on the radar and they get in, like you said, ideally as an 11 or a 12 seat.
That's right.
If they get in that high and they play to their capabilities, they will be doing not just their bit for the MEAC, but for every black conference. And this is where our media, I'm referring to the black media, has fallen down on the job. None of these black news sites, maybe locally they'll say something about it, but none of the major black papers will say anything about it because they don't want to spiral mentally out to the ramifications of what the Lady Pirates are going to do until after the thing is done.
Well, they know because my article a year ago went all the way up. Believe me, they know. I'll do it again. I'll blow it up again if they do this. I'm waiting for Monday night.
Yep.
Monday night at 4 o'clock on the Pacific and 7 o'clock on the East. When it comes out, if it comes out any lower than 12 or 13, they're going to get it.
And you're going to have to give it to them.
Well, you know, I sent the article to him that I got no response for Hampton, which is very surprising. I got nothing for Hampton.
It's not that surprising. You got to remember, Hampton, despite the fact that it's a black school, their mindset corporately is more conservative. They would look at you more as a pot stirrer. No, I mean it. I mean it. I'm serious. They're not looking to ruffle any feathers.
Yeah.
And most of the traditional black schools had that same mindset at their front offices. It's true.
I think you're right. Yeah. Because I did it to the AD. I did it both to AD and the president. I did it a year ago to both of their mm-hmm. offices.
No,
nope. I got nothing back. Nothing at all back.
They will play the role when it comes. They'll play the role when it comes to FaceTime. G, you know, they'll be happy to get their little 10 or 15 seconds on SportsCenter.
Yeah.
The reality is, they want money, and they want to make sure that they are in the best position to
make the money,
reel that money in.
Yeah.
They don't care, and that's the profanity, is that they don't care because they don't see the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see what a strong run by the Lady Pirates would mean to all black colleges and all HBCUs.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's the thing that turns that core of athletes that you just mentioned to come back and not wait until they've been screwed by Division I schools to realize that they have a safety net that they can flourish in. But, you know, there would have to be, if the Lady Pirates win 2 games in this tourney, I would say that the point would be made and eyebrows would be raised. But remember, tournaments are about officiating, and we know.
Yep.
When it comes to officiating,
oh yeah, I know very well.
The fix can be put in, and I have to get my butt out of here on this one, but
okay.
I know as the names are being placed for the dates for the big dance, just remember, who you come in with ain't going to be who you leave with if the NCAA has anything to say about it.
Yes.
Have a great afternoon, everybody. And, again, check us out, Soul Tree Radio on the Raw, 2 to 4 Saturdays, 9 to 11 Eastern time on the weekdays with the Hump Day Special. And tomorrow evening we have our music therapy session right after Gary Norris Gray in the Music Box.
Yes,
9
sir.
To 11 Eastern, 6 to 8 on the West Coast. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you very much.
All right.
Michael, thank you on Soul Tree and the Raw. We're going to take a little quick break and come back in a minute after this quick break. All right. We're going to have Jessica, come on. I'm the girl from Texas, Jessica Simpson. Okay, the PGA last week did the Real Open World Cup World Golf Championship Cadet. Tiger Woods looked good until the last round. He fell out, just back, messed up again. So he's going to try it again this week. Patrick Reed beats Bubba Watson by one stroke in the World Golf Championship Cadillac. NASCAR last week, Cobalt 400 in Las Vegas. And Dale Earnhardt Jr. is on fire as he comes in second place again. Second straight second place spot. Brad Kurowski wins the Cobalt 400. This week they're in Bristol, Tennessee, Bristol, Fortune 500. And we go, of course, the tennis. It will be Indian Wells. Indian Wells will end as the PNB Forever Open. They'll be over Monday, so we have a result next week of who won, who lost. The PNB. Rounds open Indian Wells, California. So, let's see. In basketball, there's at TNT need to stop doing broadcasting basketball games. Every Thursday, you get two complete blowouts. And happened again this Thursday, and the Chicago Bulls blow out the Houston Rockets 118-87. Jeremy Lin gets 21 points. The Oklahoma Kansas City Thunder beat up on the LA Lakers 131-102. And Durant and Westbrook blow up the Lakers again. So, also, news is on Tuesday, this Tuesday, Phil Jackson will be president of the New York Knicks. I told Phil, don't drink the Kool-Aid, do not drink the Kool-Aid. This is the worst team you can walk into. They got to deal with about Anthony, the way he's going to do. So we'll see. I hope you enjoyed the show today. Badgerbad.biz. From Carolina. Virginia Reality Sports. In Virginia. WCLM 1450. Also, Richmond with Calvin Reggie. Michael was in the room. I was ready to roll. And Pat Freeman, the mighty Oba, whatever UFO, above New York. My young warrior, Travis Singleton, with his fundraising effort for Kings for Grades. Go, Travis. Keep on doing your thing, brother. Remembering our Godfather, Oli Rogers, BSN, New York City, New York. And Dorian Wade, New England Forum Magazine, Boston, Massachusetts. And home, the Giovanni Brothers Market, in Ellisville, California. I'd like to thank Kathleen Wells for coming to the show, 707. Michael Zingram. And I hope we come back next week for another show, Women's Month. Enjoy your week. Go safe. And we'll go out with Jessica Simpson from her last album. If I can get up here. So many commercials. Hope you enjoyed it. And next week, another Women's History Month. We'll continue on the 22nd. Hockey, basketball, and the NCAA will be in full gear. All right, good night.
Watch it.